Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Remember the Thai cave rescue? What about the mission depicted in Black Hawk Down or the epic rescue shown in Captain Phillips? You've probably heard of all of these, but did you know that U.S. Air Force Special Warfare played a pivotal role in all of them? These airmen are the most highly trained warriors on the planet. Other forces like the SEALs and Army Rangers call on them to provide skills no one else can. Not many people make the cut, but if you think you can, visit airforce.com to learn more.
This is the Busted Open Podcast. You can listen to the full show Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to noon Eastern on Sirius XM Fight Nation Channel 156.
Welcome to this very special edition of the Busted Open Podcast. We have two fantastic interviews. First, Thunder Rosa and I sit down with Julia Hart from AEW, and then Bully and I, now that his 90 days are cleared, we sit down and speak to AJ Francis. All that right now on this special edition of the Busted Open Podcast. I feel like there's some animosity between our next guest and one of our hosts. Thunder, we bring in your TBS champion, Julia Hart. Julia, for a first time here, how are you? And thank you so much for the time.
Good. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Can. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How about you guys?
So
we are
good.
Great. And I'm, you know what? And I'm going to say this, Julia, right off the bat. And there's a lot to talk about with you because you're a champion. You have championship gold. You're doing amazing things with AEW. But I will also give you credit for this. You're a professional. And here's how I know why. Knowing that Thunder was one of the hosts this morning on the show, you still joined. You are truly a professional, Julia. So thank you for doing that.
And I always said that about Julia, that she is a professional, that she knows what's up. You know, she's humble. She is there in her position because she's worked very hard. And I have to acknowledge that. No, she is the one who, I had a match when I first was announced that I signed with AEW, and she is the one who, you know, made the honors for me to return after an injury on the last match. However, let's not take the fact that you are the champion, Julia, of a TBS champion, one of the youngest champions in our company, and I'm looking for gold. So I'm just saying, putting it out there, if that, you know, aligns up, I would love to be, you know, in the ring with you one-on-one, not in a tag match.
I would love to. There. One-on-one would be great again. Next time, I feel like this time will be more prepared than the last time. It was one-on-one, you know? So, yeah, I think it would be great to work with you again, Thunder.
Yeah, that would be great. Can you think about, like, how much you've grown as a performer? Obviously, Thunder came in, and it was a big announcement. Your position on the card was a lot different than where you are now. Now you are the champion. You are the youngest champion. You're doing a great job. I love Sky Blue as well. I think you guys are doing awesome. But how different is that transition from when you came in and Thunder was coming in and there was a big announcement and she went on, she was doing awesome things, but you were still learning and growing in that period to get to where you are now? I mean, you've come so far in such a short time if you think about that. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, it is just a really short time. And when I wrestled Thunder back then, I was just like a little pipsqueak. Little preppy, you know, not knowing what she's doing, trying to figure herself out, and knowing what she is doing is not what she wants to do exactly. She has more potential. And the cheer stuff, I just need to get out of it and grow out of it. I had done competitive cheer for 6 years. I was still holding on to it because I loved cheer so much, and I just needed to let it go and needed to grow up, so to say. Then I call it like the Varsity Blondes, like my high school, and the House of Black, like my college. Like, I really just grown up as a person as it is. So, yeah, definitely just a little pipsqueak to just mature lady.
Mickey and David, Julia actually has a thing for horror movies.
Ooh.
And a part of her entrance and a part of what has made, you know, Julia, Julia right now, it's that dark side. Can you tell our listeners more about the dark side and who Julia Hart is now versus, you know, the cheerleader?
Yeah, growing up, my mom's favorite holiday was Halloween. So we've really got into Halloween growing up. I think one thing that's really sticks out to me is when I was younger, the Michael Jackson Thriller music video. I was obsessed with it as a kid, and I would show like my younger friends like the video, and they would get scared, and I would like laugh at them for being scared. And I was, you think this is scary? Like, I loved seeing other people get scared as well. So I don't know. It was just something about that. It was like, I'm not scared and I can control what I'm thinking and I'm not freaked out by that. But I always thought that was so funny growing up.
I'm a big horror movie buff. What is your favorite horror movie?
Probably, I love Insidious and I love Sinister and I love Annabelle. So those are probably like, I love that type of horror. Some people like, you know, Chucky and the slash movies. I'm more to like the actual, like, just the not okay stuff.
the disturbing stuff.
The disturbing stuff.
Yeah. I like more of that. That really dark, and it's just so creative what people come up with, and it's really just an art of everything that they come up with, so it's really cool.
Awesome.
I have no idea what you guys talk about because I don't watch scary movies. I don't watch horror films. I had nightmares. It's terrible. They stick. Yeah. So you guys started talking. Oh, even Chucky. I've not seen Chucky.
Oh, really?
I've not. I think I've watched three, like maybe a tops 3 minutes of it. There was a doll with a knife and I went in the other room.
It was
not
the first one? Because the first one gave me nightmares since when I was little.
I
was terrified. I was terrified. But
it's scary. Lost me at horror film.
Julia, with the whole your whole concept of a Julia Hart right now and in the House of Black. Can you talk more about how you created this whole persona, or did you have any help from the House of Black to recreate Julia Hart?
I will say I did have help like in ring wise and figuring out myself, but character wise, Malachi wanted me to present what my thought of his concept was and if I understood what he was doing. So when I asked to join House of Black, he said, come up with a promo and I'll see what you got. And I was like, okay. And I spent like 2 weeks working on this promo and I made like a presentation and I watched movies on characters I thought I would resemble, all of the things. And then when I finally showed him what I had, he was like, yep. And then I was kind of like, no more direction after that. He was just like, yep, you get it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. I will say your entrance is so fantastic. And I'm a big entrance and character person. So I think that, you know, it's so important to be a strong wrestler. And obviously that you've grown so much in that, but your character part is one of the most important elements of like really transcending and coming out of that box, right? Like it's the commitment to that character. And I think you've done a really good job with that from your entrance into just like the in-betweens and stuff, like just the little pieces. So good job.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And Julia, everybody talks about your age and how young you are. But do you feel like with all the work that you've done in 2023, you're past that now? Like you're not the youngest champion. You're not the youngest. Like I feel like you've shown so much and so much growth over the last year and have really brought a lot of positive attention to the AEW women's division. Do you feel like now the age thing is just, it doesn't matter anymore. You've grown so much over the last year.
Yeah, like in the locker room, I don't feel like the youngest one. People don't treat me as the youngin' anymore. They'll say like, oh, you're really young, but it's more of like, oh, I forgot you're that young. So nobody really, I know when I first got there, people were like, oh my gosh, you're just a little, you know, baby, a little pipsqueak. But now people, they're like, oh wow, you're young, but I don't look at you like that. So I think that's one thing. I think I've gotten a lot of respect from people in the back as well, which is like not just being the little youngster anymore, even though I think I am still, I think the only people to have me beat is Billy Starks and Nick Wayne of being the youngest. But other than that, yeah, so just gained a lot of respect, I feel like, in the back as well for not being a little pipsqueak.
Julia, who were your main mentors when you first started wrestling? And how did that develop on your the way that you see professional wrestling?
Like when I got into AEW?
Even prior or during and during the time in AEW?
Or like when I was like a little bit watching?
I guess maybe. Fan too, both maybe, right? Yeah, I think who inspires you as a fan kind of helps you, because then you think about that of when you're starting to like get into wrestling because you're trying to figure out who you are, right?
Yeah, who? I would say when I was younger, I would say my two biggest that I looked up to the most was AJ Lee and Alexa Bliss. And I feel like I kind of resemble a lot of them sometimes, like, which is great because I love them so much. And I think I do piggyback off of them sometimes because they are my favorites growing up. So those are definitely the two women I looked up to the most. And then for men, Jeff Hardy was always my number one growing up. And trying to think, it depends on like the periods of times, because you know, you get have favorites and then you like move out of who's your favorite. Jeff Hardy was always number one, always loved Shawn Michaels, Edge, and now he's in AEW, which is crazy.
Yeah,
he actually told me, sorry, I'm gonna say this, he told me the other day, he came up to me after my entrance and he was like, "You look so cool," and I was like, no way, he did, no way. Oh my god. So definitely that. But then getting into AEW, Cody was always a huge help, and QT, Dustin were the people that really took me under their wing. And then now House of Black with Malachi, Brody, and Buddy just helped me with everything now. So it just depends on the timelines.
Yeah.
That's Julia, awesome. How's it been for you? I mean, you're a star, you're on national TV every week. Like, how has that transition been for you, like becoming a superstar, becoming recognized, having people wanting your autograph? What's that been like for you?
I don't know. I don't think too much about it. Just still Julia. I don't know. I come home, things. I walk the dog. I go to the gym, eat pizza. So,
yeah.
And I feel like
you don't get, like, you don't get hounded at the gym, or like if you go to CVS or wherever to get your, yeah, you're good. It's only like when you arrive to the buildings and stuff like that.
And I feel like wrestling's such a like community, like such a niche too. So there's only like certain people, and I love going to like the same venues and you see the same fans again, and it's like, oh, you, I know you. So it's kind of like just like, I feel like wrestling just community as it is. So,
and you don't put pineapple on your pizza, do you? I mean, you just, you don't do that, do you?
Wow. Pineapple heat. What?
Do you put pineapple on the pizza?
I will. I do like pineapple.
Yeah. Come on, man. Oh, my God. You people from Minnesota, I swear.
She loves tacos, too.
Yeah.
Julia loves tacos. She gave me a really good... And I don't know if she puts pineapple on some pastor tacos. I'm pretty sure. Have you tried them?
I don't think
pineapple
so,
no. Pastor? No, you haven't. I have to take you to a place where they put that in there.
Yeah. It's your heat with pineapple on pizza. I just don't know. It's so delicious.
Really? No, you like pineapple on your pizza?
I do.
Too?
It's sweet and salt. Give me that sweet and salty all the time. Oh. Chocolate covered potato chip, something that's like.
Oh, those are good too.
Oh, man.
Mark gave them to me and like, I was like, awesome.
It's like
as
best
a Jersey
of both
Italian,
worlds. Just happening.
You people are killing me. You people are killing me when it comes to pizza. But Julia, it's been great. But do you feel like this has been a breakout year for you? You're a champion now. Like, what are some of your goals for 2024?
I would say I really want to wrestle at Wembley. That would be a really, but I think last year, my goals, I really wanted to be in like the poster was like one of my goals, and to be on a pay-per-view. And I've done those. And this year I'm like, well, I might as well just think big because it's possible. So I'm like, maybe Wembley would be a really good goal for me. But I also don't like to get too overwhelmed. If like, I like to take things at a time, and if I don't reach those goals, then I don't get upset. So just focusing on being on a really good champion for the women and putting on the best matches I can put on, and hopefully Wembley.
Yeah.
Julia definitely has been someone very positive in the locker room. I've known her for ever since you know, I got in there. You were one of the first people that I trained with. And I always said it, and I continuously say it, and I said it to you many times, that I'm very proud of you for where you've done. And and one thing that people need to understand about Julia is that she is very hungry, and she never stops getting better and receiving mm-hmm. feedback and working on herself. And as you guys seen as fans, you've seen what she's done inside and outside of the ring. We're very, very proud. All the ladies at AEW are very, very proud of your success. And the mindset that she has, or that you have, Julia, it really speaks volumes of the person that you are. So you should be very proud of yourself.
Thank you.
Wow.
I was going to say,
butt?
Like,
because I'm waiting for a butt from Thunder, but I'm yeah, taking that. Yeah. But I'm but, taking sorry, that TBS no championship. I'm taking that TBS championship.
Yes,
from you.
That she has
gonna be a champion not for long, but you know,
but.
I was going to say, do you think you accredit, because I love that, because that's probably why you've been able to achieve so much and do so much and excel in a short time to become the youngest champion. Do you think you, because of your cheer background, because if you were doing team competitions and stuff, you've been coaching and been coached, you know, because I think it's for a person to be coached, to be trained, sometimes it takes like a lot of ego check for a lot of people. And yeah. I think so, but a lot of times that's why a lot of these athletes that have been athletes since children or gymnastics or cheer or football or whatever, they do excel quickly because they're able to listen to coaches' advice and like really just like focus on the things. Do you think that's helped you both in the locker room and, you know, as far as being a team and also being coached?
Yeah, 100%. I think one thing I always remind myself is I can't see myself performing. When I'm in the ring, I can't see myself, but everybody else can. So if I do something weird or not right, I might think I'm doing it right, but I also can't see myself. So when I come to the back and someone says, hey, you might have done this, this, and this, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know. Thank you for telling me, because I can't see myself. But unless I like watch it back, then I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, that's right. That does not look great. Because in cheer, you know, that happened all the time.
Right.
So, and also my trainer before the Nightmare Factory, Ken Anderson, he always said that, you know, who's watching. He said, even a janitor could tell you like, hey, that looked weird and you should take his advice. Because you can't see yourself. You don't know what you're doing. So, yeah. It could be anybody.
Yeah. I love Ken Anderson. I didn't know that he trained you.
Yeah, I met him when I was like 15.
Yeah.
A little, that was like real pipsqueak. I shouldn't even been. But yeah, he was the best. He's the best trainer.
Yeah.
Julia,
yeah.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you so much for joining us. And like what Thunder said, it's been great to watch you grow. It was great to see you break out in 2023 and to see you become a champion. I love you in the House of Black, and I can't wait to see what 2024 does for you. So
thank you so much.
The number one pro wrestling show on the planet, Busted Open, is available 7 days a week by subscribing and downloading the Busted Open podcast. This is Dave LaGreca. Join me alongside two WWE Hall of Famers, Mark Henry and Bully Ray, the hardcore legend Tommy Dreamer, plus Thunder Rosa and Mickie James, all week long as we break down everything going on in and out of the ring. Listen to Busted Open right now on the SXM app or wherever you get your podcasts. As a wrestling fan, you know it's hard. All the blood, the sweat, the tears, the chairs. It's a hard day out there. And do you know what tastes incredible after a hard day in the ring? A Mike's Hard Lemonade. You get all hot and bothered, and then you can cool off with an ice-cold hard lemonade. Since day one, Mike's Hard Lemonade has been making lemonade the hard way. They take three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked, from family farms and cold press them to create a taste like no other. They choose to do things the hard way because they know hard days deserve a hard lemonade. That's why for 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. Find now in store, Mike's is hard, so is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium malt beverage with flavors. Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Te presentamos a Daniela, A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
The best part of spring cleaning takeaway is the post-clean clarity you get. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a three-month plan. It's time to switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. Ditch overpriced wireless with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new three-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/bustedopen. That's mintmobile.com/bustedopen. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/bustedopen. $45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first three-month plan only. Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details. Warmer, sunnier days are calling. Fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Meet your wellness goals in time for summer thanks to the menu of chef-crafted meals with options like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you'll always have time to enjoy nutritious, great-tasting meals. With 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week, you'll always have new flavors to explore. Crush your wellness goals this May with dietitian-approved meals and ingredients that you can trust. Treat yourself to restaurant-quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, and blackened salmon. Head to factormeals.com/busted50 and use code BUSTED50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month. That's code BUSTED50 at factormeals.com/busted50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Let's bring in our good friend, AJ Francis. AJ, how are you, man? Thanks for the time.
I'm good, brother. Thanks for having me, man. You know, you guys set the tone. You guys let me perform We Outside at the holiday show, you know, in the same room as Taylor Swift and Metallica and Kiss and all these big artists. So now, you know, TNA wants to see me come to Hard to Kill and be able to debut my new music video there with Who Cares?
Well, first thing I did is I went and I follow you on social media. I made sure I got the We Outside hoodie that's available. Ooh, right now. It's the perfect thing, nice, to wear in this chilly weather. So I'm waiting for that to come. But, you know, we're big fans of yours and what you're doing. And it's funny, we just spoke to Adam Copeland about an hour ago here this morning on Busted Open. And, you know, Bully mentioned a word, you know, freedom, you know, creative freedom. And you have that creative freedom now. So, you know, you had that kind of sentence of 90 days. Those 90 days mm-hmm. are over. So how does it feel now to have this whole world opened up to you?
It feels great, but it's like one of those things. It's like, it's a little bittersweet because, like, you know, I did the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. You know, I did the show with you guys. I did Pat McAfee's show. I did, you know, Scott Van Pelt on ESPN. I did all these things, ABC, NBC. I did Big Noon Kickoff on Fox for the Maryland-Michigan game. Like, I did all these things, and I set them all up myself. Nobody set them up but me. So, like, I could have been doing that the whole time. Like, I could have helped elevate the brand, but they didn't feel that it was – they had a need for me. And, I mean, quite honest, they're doing as good as they've ever done, so they don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's no hard feelings. It's just the fact that, like, I could have been helping the brand the whole time I was there, and now the brand is me. So now I'm helping myself.
Okay, AJ, here we go. So whenever things go awry with a talent and a company, I always say the talent needs to look in the mirror and ask themselves what they did wrong or what they could have done better and how much they had to play in the entire situation, because wrestlers tend to lie to themselves at sometimes, and it's very hard to be honest about it. It's one of the reasons I have so much respect for Deonna Purrazzo, because I've seen her mature and be honest. Tell me, in your opinion, if you were on the other side, why did they release AJ Francis?
I feel like they didn't have an idea how to use Hit Row. I feel like the idea of the hip hop stable just didn't really gel with what they had creatively and what they wanted to do creatively. The music videos that you guys see me release, that you I release every week, that you guys love, I was doing them every week while I was there. They didn't really have an idea or a way to integrate them in the show. I mean, even when they asked me to redo a diss song, and I did the diss song on, you know, the OC, and it got millions of views online, and it went viral, and it was one of the biggest things people talked about that week in wrestling. And then we had the tag team match. They beat us. AJ Styles gives me, you know, the phenomenal forearm, which was awesome, by the way, to be able to do that. And then, like, it was funny because he told me afterwards, he was like, I'm glad you were where you were supposed to be, because when he, if you look at it on tape, when he jumps off the top rope, he does his springboard, his hood comes up, and he said he couldn't see at all. So he was just happy. He was just happy I was where I was supposed to be. But like, we did, you know, he gives me the phenomenal form, and then that was the end of it. There was no like follow up on that. There was no continuation of the storyline. We could have did a million things. So I genuinely feel like they just didn't know what they wanted to do with Hit Row. And, you know, they had different plans clearly for the three of us. And, you know, I'm just happy that Brianna and Tahuti, which who are B-Fab and Ashante, the Adonis, I'm happy that they're still there. I'm happy they're still getting any money. I'm happy that they seem to be getting involved on the show. So, you know, I have no ill will towards anyone there. It's just now I got worried about me. I'm worried about me. I don't care about nobody else but me. That's why I don't want to be in no factions. I don't want to be in no groups. I don't want to be in no tag teams. I'm tired of people pretending that I need other people. I can do it by myself, and I'm going to do it by myself.
I've seen you're very active on social media, and I don't know the whole story here, so hopefully you could bring me up to speed or anybody else up to speed. I saw the video of B-Fab training at the Dungeon, Natty and TJ's place, and it seems like you defend B-Fab a lot for certain things. Bring me and everybody else up to speed on what you're defending her about and where's she at right now.
B-Fab is one of the best talent that WWE has. She just needs an opportunity, man. She's done house shows and dark matches with Natty and been involved in mixed tags with us and done all these things that, like, she can work, man. She can not just work. I mean, everybody can work, but she knows how to work a crowd. That's different. A lot of people don't know how to do that. You know that, Bully. There's a lot of people that are good wrestlers but can't work a crowd to save their life. You know what I'm saying? She can work a crowd, too. She's great on the mic. She's obviously beautiful. So, like, she has so much potential and so much, you know, given the right opportunity that she could provide for the company. And so, like, I get upset when people talk down on her name and act like she can't wrestle just because she ain't been given a match on TV. It's like the same thing as, like, those same people will say, I can't talk, but I don't get promos on TV. Like, if you actually listen to the words that I say, if you actually listen to the words that are coming out of my mouth, then you'll be able to understand that I'm very good at talking and I can do a lot of things that other people can't do on the microphone. I just have to be given an opportunity. B-Fab's the same way, but she's not just on the mic. She's in the ring. You know, we can do a lot of cool things. And I'm happy for her to be getting that opportunity now. It looks like she's going to be doing something with Bobby and the Street Profits.
Now, AJ, you were gone. And then you came back, and it was a little bit of a different regime when you came back the second time. Mm-hmm. But it feels like kind of like the outcome was the same. Were you confused by that? And did that frustrate you? Because I'm sure when you came back for the second time, you probably thought that things were going to be a little bit different, didn't you?
Yeah, I feel like the main difference is, like, Hunter always had a lot of respect for me, and we talked, and he was cool. And like, Paul, you know, Heyman is one of my biggest supporters. But, you know, I don't know how to say it other than, like, sometimes I just never felt welcome. Like, when other talent would be like, you know, in Gorilla, like, I would go in Gorilla and, like, watch people's matches, and I would watch the dark matches, and I would watch doing the show, and I just didn't feel, like, I didn't feel like I was supposed to be there. Like, I felt like, I just felt like the energy around was like, I shouldn't be in there. And I don't know why. I felt that way. Nobody ever came up to me and was like, yo, you can't get out of here. But, you know, you can read a situation, body language, and it's just like, I don't know. I really don't know. I would show up every Friday to SmackDown, and I would get in the ring. Even if I was by myself, I would literally run spots with a ghost. There's plenty of people that will attest to this. Like, I would get in there with Regal. I would get in there with anybody that wanted to get in there with me. You know, I did everything I could on the dark show. I mean, dark matches to get the crowd going. Every time we did a dark match, they let us cut a promo. The crowd hated our guts. The babyface came out. The babyface got cheered. The babyface got over. You know, it started the show off on the right foot. It happened every time. It happened in every country we went to. And it's like, I don't know. The thing is like, I just genuinely feel like they didn't have a plan for Hit Row.
So let me ask you this, AJ. Yes or no? Would you consider yourself a confident person?
Absolutely.
Do you think that confidence ever came across as arrogance?
Not if you've ever actually had a conversation with me and talked to me as a human being. You know what I'm saying? Like, if the only thing you've ever done is try to talk down to me or, like, say, you know, whatever, then you might not like how I am. But, like, people who've ever actually had a genuine conversation with me enjoy my presence, enjoy the things that I bring to the table. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's not just, like, B-Fab and Ashante. That's Rey Mysterio. That's AJ Styles. That's Randy Orton. That's Sheamus. That's Cody Rhodes. That, like, the list goes on and on. You can name all the guys on the roster over there. Like, oh, the Usos. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, all of those, if you ask them about me, every single one of them will have good things to say. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if you think that my confidence comes off as arrogance, it's because you don't actually take any time to talk to me and get to know me and see me as a human being.
Now, AJ, well, you know, let's jump ahead. Let's look at what's going to be happening now. Look at your future. I mean, the one thing is being part of the WWE and being labeled a WWE superstar, that doesn't hurt. Mm-hmm. Like, that will, yeah. You know, like, being able to be on TV, to be on SmackDown. I mean, SmackDown, when you were on SmackDown, was the most watched pro wrestling show in the world. So you were a part of that show. So,
and I always want to say this. I wanted to say this, too. I've never said this, so I want to point this out. Everybody talks about ratings. Why don't we ever talk about the fact that the pre-taped Christmas show, that the only advertised match last year was the Usos versus Hit Row for the tag team titles, was one of the most watched SmackDowns ever? Why don't we ever talk about that? Huh? Well, that never gets brought up.
Feel free to talk about it.
We're talking about it right now.
But back to your question. I just want to point that out.
No, but again, that brings you attention. That's going to be a part of you for the rest of your career that you were with.
Sure.
The WWE. So, and like you said earlier, there's no ill will. Sometimes things happen. You're a part of something. The timing could be wrong, or they're going in a creative direction that you're just not a part of. But I'm mm-hmm. sure that it's still important to you that you were a part of that global brand, right?
Absolutely. And if they called me again, I would love to have that conversation, but I'm not waiting on that call. Like, okay. the amount of time that I would have wasted waiting on that call, I can do a million different things somewhere else. I am so excited for the opportunity to be able to go to TNA. TNA is how I found out about AJ Styles and Samoa Joe and these other guys. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that TNA has been around so long, and I've always wanted to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, like, when you go straight to WWE from the indies, you don't get a chance to go to TNA. And, you know, it was Impact at the time anyway, which it's not no different. But at the end of the day, like, when I was watching TNA, it was TNA. You know what I'm saying? The Main Event Mafia. You know what I'm saying? Aces and Eights. Huh? You know what I'm saying? But, you know what I'm saying? Like, when I was watching TNA, that's what it was. And, like, I'm excited to go there. And I'm excited to go everywhere in the world. I just did... This past weekend, I did a show in Miami for CCW. It's the biggest show they ever had. I did a show in Memphis the very next day, biggest show they ever had. So, like, business is booming. I'm happy, man. And I get to do what I want when I step off that plane. And that freedom alone, like you just said, is worth everything.
You have to feel let's use Matt Cardona as the best example of somebody who left a major company who is flourishing and thriving on his mm-hmm. own. I think you have the opportunity to do the same thing. because you have so many avenues other than wrestling. You have music. You do a lot of different things with TNA. You're going to be debuting your new video at Hard to Kill from the Palms in Las Vegas. Are you also going to be wrestling for the company?
See, that is a thing that you have to tune in to find out. You know what I'm saying? It's a, you know, we're going to keep kayfabe alive. You know what I'm saying? But as of now, you know, it's definitely the plan is the music video on Saturday. It's really cool because it's at the Palms and, you know, DJ Who Kid lives in Vegas. So it just made a lot of sense for us to set that up. But yeah, like as one thing about me, Bully, you know, if the money right, I'll do whatever you need. You know what I'm saying? So,
but you can genuinely say if there was an opportunity there, you would love to work for TNA.
Absolutely. That's not even a question. That's not even, there's not even a question. Cool. That's already, yeah, that is a bona fide guarantee. Like if they're not just TNA, like I love working for TNA. I'm ready to work everywhere. I want to be all over the world. I have a point to prove. You see what I'm saying? So like I said this before in interviews, like that first 24 hours after I got released, I was like, are you serious? Like I was furious. But then I was like, all right, they don't think that I'm worth something. We're going to see.
So is that your point that you're looking to prove that you are worth something?
Oh, I'm looking to prove that I am the thing that you're looking for, that every company needs. When GCW announced that I was going to be on their show January 26th in Tampa, it was the biggest social media reaction they got. Go to look at Impact's page. Other than the title belts being displayed yesterday, you know what I'm saying? The title belts being displayed are huge because they look good. They look great. You know what I'm saying? Like the new, but like just the fact that me and Who Kid are going to be there, the reaction was insane. You know what I'm saying? So it's like everywhere I go, people care. People, like, you can say that they're mad, but they don't tune in. And when they tune in, I'm not trying to get you to cheer for me anyway. I don't know if anybody picked up on this, but everything that I do is in character. I'm the Black Million Dollar Man, okay? You know, like that's my whole shtick. You see me? So it's like that's the whole gimmick, right? So, like, if you don't like me, you're not supposed to. You see what I'm saying? Like, if you like me, it's because you're paying attention and you realize I'm really good at what I do and that I'm really good at getting reaction and talking and doing all these things. But if you don't like me, you're not supposed to. People didn't like when you kicked that basketball out of the little kid's hand, when Ted DiBiase kicked the basketball out of his head. Yeah. And they still remember it 30 years later.
But it's cool, AJ, and I guess this would be with everyone. You gave yourself like a 24-hour period to be angry, to be upset and ask questions like, why? But then you realize, you know what? It's already in the past. That 24 hours has passed, and that stage of my career has passed. And now you're focused and totally zoomed in on what you're going to do next. And then you must have gotten it. It's funny how you went from being upset and angry to excited. Because then I'm sure you kind of put your plan in place, you know, like, wow, I could do this. I could do this. I can go here. I can go there. And there's nobody stopping me from doing it. And I like the fact that you're saying, you know what, as much as you love being a part of a faction and being part of Hit Row, now it's about you. So now you don't have to worry about a partner or how people are perceiving another person in your faction. Now it's completely and focused and centered around yourself.
See, it's funny. And that's the difference between the last time I was released and this time. Is the last time I was released with the rest of Hit Row. And like, to be completely honest with you, man, I don't need to rest. Like, I ain't got enough money to never work again, but I got enough money that I ain't got to work for a long time. You see what I'm saying? So I could sit back, relax, and just, you know, sip a Mai Tai on the beach if I wanted to. So when we were released last time, I didn't want to go anywhere if they weren't also going to book Ashante and B-Fab. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told them that. I was like, yo, if you want to book me, you got to book them. When Hunter called me and was like, we want to bring you back, I was like, I want to come back as long as I'm coming with Ashante and B-Fab. Like, I stood up for my people. I stand up for my people. I believe in them. I know what they can bring to the table, right? Now, I'm just worried about me, bro. I don't have to worry about nobody else. The ball is in my court. it's going to go as far as I take it, and I'll have nobody but me to look at with the success or the failure of it. And the fact is, it's already been very successful, and it's going to continue to be, because I am ready and motivated, and I care about how my character is presented. That's why I always play my character. I've got 4 promos online that have all done great numbers within the last week. Who else is doing that? You know what I'm saying? Like, who else is doing that for real? Like, I'm going to drop another one in the next couple of days for Hard to Kill. Like, who else is doing that? And so I'm really out here doing everything that I can. I cut a promo on the Citrus Bowl sideline. You see what I'm saying? Like, this isn't a game for me. I understand the opportunity that's in front of me, and I'm not going to waste it.
If things did work out with TNA, is there anybody there that you have animosity with walking in the front door, or is there anybody there that you could see yourself making some money with?
Oh, yeah. There's this guy named Bully Ray that I definitely know I could make some money with. Tommy Dreamer, for sure. We got Moose, for sure. Chris Bay, for sure. Saban, for sure. You know, some of the best in the business are in that company. I can't fight her, but it looks like she's going to roll out anyway. But Naomi, for sure. We got... I said Naomi, but you know, Trinity, I would love, if we could work it out, you know, Jordan, I saw you took her finish. I feel like I could too. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like we could do some good work there. So there's a lot of people in TNA that I'm very much looking forward to working with, because there's so much talent on that roster. Like, people don't understand the casual wrestling fan that only watches WWE and doesn't watch TNA doesn't understand how deep and talented that roster is, and especially all the people that they bring in, you know, to do one-off shows that are incredibly talented, like a Will Ospreay. You know, so like the sky is the limit in TNA, and I'm very much looking forward to it.
Busted Open is part of the SiriusXM Sports Podcast Network. If you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, please give a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe today wherever you stream your podcast. Catch the full 3 hours of Busted Open every day of the week at 9 a.m. Eastern on SiriusXM Foundation, channel 156. Go to SiriusXM.com/BustedOpenTrial to start your free trial today.
Te presentamos a Daniela. A ella nada le sorprende.
Siempre estoy lista para lo que venga.
Por eso,
este año fui a Walmart a comprar todo para combatir mis alergias antes que comience la temporada de alergias.
Claro, porque Walmart tiene
productos de alta calidad para las alergias, como descongestionantes, sprays nasales, antihistamínicos y más, y a precios muy buenos.
¿Y sabías que también tiene pickup y delivery? Daniela, ¿te sorprendiste?
¿Yo? No, ¿qué va? Claro que sabía que Walmart tiene pickup y delivery.
Bienvenido a una farmacia más simple. Bienvenido a tu Walmart.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.